You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Beretta.
Chris Gilpin.
This is usually the part of the show where there's like a deafening silence. We all sit around going,
Who's next? Who's next?
We usually cut that part out of the podcast when we rebroadcast this sucker. So I'm going to start right away. Sam Tweedle's not here because he's on the way to Niagara Falls Comic Convention.
Yep.
I'm not going to Niagara Falls Comic Convention.
I'm kind of
bummed about that. But I'm trying to save up my pennies and nickels for Fan Expo later on in the year. How come you're not at Niagara there, Dan?
I just didn't want to go.
You can't even claim poverty?
I can claim poverty. Is it too late to change my answer?
No, not at all.
Poverty. Hooray.
That's my excuse.
But like...
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And you see Carlos from Gotham Central posting pics with Jason Mewes and one of the Ramon brothers.
Well, I think it's I've been there a couple of years, and I think it's just growing more and more as a comic convention.
Yeah.
And being so close to the border, you're seeing quite a few American guests coming that, you'd only expect at the big show like Fan Expo.
Yeah.
So it seems to be getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith are doing their little podcasty thingy there. And
well, but I don't think Smith is though, right? He's not showing up till Sunday though to do a pickup.
Yeah, they're doing their Jay and Silent Bob Grow Old podcast somewhere in the Niagara Falls area Saturday or Friday. I can't remember which. And then they're going to be at the con itself for the photo op. So it's not like he's going to be there signing autographs and stuff.
No.
That's always a hoot and a half.
Yeah.
And of course, what else is at the Niagara Falls Comic Convention that we're all pining for?
A comic book.
Oh, Captain Canuck, 150, Canada 150 anniversary comic book. Apparently this is a one-off special edition commissioned by the City of Niagara Falls. First 500, well, there's only 500 copies apparently, but the 500 copies are supposed to be given out to the first 500 people in the door, and us comic collectors of Captain Canuck that aren't going through the door are frantically scrambling, trying to figure out how to get a copy.
And the only one of us going is Sam, who's not a Captain Canuck fan.
And he's not showing up till Sunday.
And they'll be long gone.
They'll be long gone by then. But I've noticed that, we've got a couple of announcements as far as that goes. But instead of having, like, the new Volume 2 of Captain Canuck that's coming out momentarily, supposed to be on Wednesday but got delayed a few weeks, has a 1-in-5 retailer variant. But that's it from retail. So there's only two covers in retail. All these conventions are coming up with fancy covers.
Yeah.
Like I've got here the, East Coast Comic Expo special variant cover to the Free Comic Book Day by Nick Bradshaw. The aforementioned Canada 150. We've seen announcements for a special cover by Dan Day at...
Kingston,
possibly one by Fred Hembeck at the Peterborough Comic Con. Yes, that's correct. The Peterborough Comic Book Comic Con. And Andrew Thomas has another one that he's doing personally, just like he did his last couple. He also did another one that's going to be for the Tilsonburg Fair
Comic Con. That one you just mentioned that he's doing, is that the one that crazy lady's taking credit for?
Yes.
Some crazy lady on Facebook.
Actually, that's kind of funny.
I don't know what you're talking about, actually.
Oh, it's hilarious. Well, I'm a fan of Power Girl. right?
Yeah.
Earth 2, Justice League, Society of America. So she's the original Supergirl, but because, you know, there's already a Supergirl, she changed her name to Power Girl. And, of course, along with that came, how should we say, she's a well-endowed young lady with a rather large bosom.
And the window to show that.
Well, not all right away, because if you remember the 1970s All-Star Comics, yeah. Right? Those few All-Star Comics, she didn't have a boob window. She just had a low cut.
And she had, was that where she had that short hair with the
bandana? Yellow bob? No bandana. Oh, that was a little bit later.
She looked like one of the girls off of that 30-minute work.
Yeah, that was a little bit later. That was the Justice League, the Blaha Justice League Europe costume that was atrocious. Right. Bart Sears, you can blame him for that one. But, eventually that low cleavage turned into an actual boob window, so there's a lot of jokes about the Power Girl boob window. So I thought Andrew was just shooting the poop and making fun about drawing something, and I mentioned that he should draw a female version of Captain Canuck with a maple leaf boob window. I actually got the idea from my wife, who mentioned that. She goes, how come there's no female Captain Canuck with a boob window like there's a female Superman with a boob window? So, of course, Andrew drew it up, and now Carly's on Facebook trying to take credit for the whole thing. And she grabbed my phone.
So the crazy lady on Facebook is Carly.
Is literally my wife.
Yeah. Okay. We love you, though.
So she grabbed my phone, kidding. And she typed in, and then she's like, my idea, I want credit. So she actually wants one of the comics, so...
That's what? The biggest difference between you and me.
What's that?
Christine would say, who's Captain Canuck?
Well, kids, it's hard for Carly to avoid it. There's at least 15 prints of Captain Canuck in the basement hanging up, and pictures and, you know, plaques and art pages. And, you know, like, I'm pretty sure I have, 20 different T-shirts? And, oh, my gosh, it's just ridiculous. So
I'm not allowed to put superhero stuff up in our living room.
Well, you see, that's the nice thing about having an upstairs and a downstairs. Upstairs is hers and downstairs is mine. And as I slowly took over downstairs, she has slowly started reclaiming upstairs. So
there you go.
Some of my toys and trinkets that were upstairs are now relegated to the basement. Yeah. You know, I'm not complaining.
No.
I get my stuff in the basement, so I'm not complaining.
I haven't told Christine yet, but I think I'm going to force her to go see Wonder Woman.
Oh, apparently it's fantastic.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know. Anybody here seen it yet?
Sam has, apparently.
But everybody, there's something called the Aunt Martha test, and no, it's got nothing to do with Batman versus Superman. Martha!
What did you say? Why did you say Martha? That's my mommy's name.
The idea is that your far-flung aunt or uncle or bystander who knows about comic books because you read them but doesn't know anything about any of the characters, will they enjoy the flick? Can they sit in the theater, get the whole story, and walk out happy? And apparently the Wonder Woman movie does that, do that. So, you know, things like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I knew nothing about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, not nothing. I mean, I knew Vance Astro had Captain America's shield, like we said, and Yondu, that's it.
That
I mean,
was the
you said Charlie number 56 or something?
Charlie 27.
Charlie 27. No idea what that is. But I walked into the movie, and it was just hilarious. It was great. They told me about all the characters I needed to, and I walked out thinking, this is fantastic. So that was another example of one of those movies that you don't need to know anything about.
I finally saw number 2.
Yeah.
Like 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go see it Tuesday, cheap night.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
But there was a character with 27, what?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I can rant about that later. Not really rant, but...
Well, I mean, the idea is that the original Guardians of the Galaxy were different than the one shown in the movie, right?
Yeah. When you walk out of the theater, Dan, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about. Because even though the character's there...
I still don't.
He's not named. Anyways. Because there was an original team of Guardians back in the 70s, 60s,
70s. Well, I think it would be 60s, yeah.
60s. And then I didn't really jump on board until the 90s relaunch.
Right, okay.
Which it was mostly the same characters plus some new faces. Plus they started grabbing like Ghost Rider of the future, and Punisher of the future, and all this stuff. That's when I got into it. But anyways.
That's that whole Annihilation storyline that they had?
No. This is earlier than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, I knew nothing about it. So basically at the end of the movie, anybody who hasn't seen it, Dan, Some of the older characters are supposedly there, but
you don't recognize them at
Chris
all.
Chris is upset because they're not wearing their crazy
that's right
costumes from the
around the 60s.
Not even clothes. Like they're wearing coveralls. Like that's all they're wearing, and they're supposed to be those characters. Well, I don't know. A little something.
Well, didn't Stallone's character have the little gold wingy sort of things that
not
Starhawk has?
Maybe now that I think about it, but his was, you know, Star. I mean, he's not going to walk around with these huge ribbons flying around his body. There's one character that walks, you see him with Stallone's character that has like a crystal body, crystal head. That kind of twigged on me when I saw that because there's a crystal type character in there from way back when. So, but I didn't put any of it else together.
Well, you got me.
Yeah. Yeah. My nephew Jonah had mentioned he couldn't hold it back. He said the original Guardians of the Galaxy are in the movie. They're in one of the other credits scenes. It's like, okay. And then I watched them going, I don't think so. But then I realized, oh, okay, those are supposed to be them?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Because
right. I didn't see them.
But
other than that, I mean, yeah.
No spoilers, but it'll be interesting to hear what Dan says. But I think I like number one better. I don't know.
Number two.
I haven't seen number two, but like number one was just a pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Opening movie, like the team coming together.
Yeah.
It was just really well done.
Like, this might be a little bit of heresy, but I walked out of Guardians of the Galaxy thinking this could very well be a new generation's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, it had all of the stuff that Star Wars did that excited me when I was eight. Yeah. I could see an eight-year-old walking into Guardians of the Galaxy and walking out and wanting all the toys and the blankets and the curtains and all this stuff because it had...
And asking his mom about the dirty jokes.
Yeah, and asking his mom about the dirty jokes. But, I mean, I just really thought that movie, like I said, passes that Aunt Martha test where more than just comic book people are going to go see this.
Yeah.
You're going to get the comic book people seeing this. You're going to get the sci-fi people seeing this. You're going to see the action-adventure people that liked something like Indiana Jones or something like this. They're going to go see it. And of course, I mean, this know-nothing property that isn't really that massive as far as Marvel goes exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times did you see a newspaper article going, who are the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Why is this, you know, Marvel's number one or number two movie?
And now they have three different Guardian titles, and every character has had their own series since then.
There were four number one Guardians of the Galaxy titles last month. Not counting, like you said, Groot and Rocket Raccoon and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's just bananas.
Yeah. Like, number two was good. It's a great movie. I just felt some of it was a little, like, the dirty jokes were, I don't know, just...
Did it feel a little too much?
Yeah, a little forced, but it was great visually, and you know, it was a good story, and you know, Karen Gillan's in there.
I definitely don't think that if you didn't see one, you would appreciate two as much.
Yeah,
it's almost like Empire Strikes again. See the Star Wars reference. I'm going to get shot to heck on Twitter about this, but again, like the Star Wars reference, Empire Strikes Back. You're going to be a little bit lost. And it's a better movie for the fact that Star Wars did all the introductions, so this is like, boom, second act, let's get right into the action, let's get right into the combat and the fun, right? Same thing with this movie. If you miss the first one, I don't think you're going to like the second one on its own.
Yeah. It reminds me of a quote I heard. How did he say it? Some guy was being interviewed way back when. If you like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you should really see Star Wars because you'll love it. And I'm thinking, but it was the same. I mean, you keep throwing out the new Star Wars, new generations. It was the same with Fifth Element, right? Like that movie just, for me, it just blew me away.
Yeah, but Fifth Element, did you see the new Fifth Element?
Valerian?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like Fifth Element is the movie that I whip out when I want to test TVs.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like if you want to see amazing graphics and colors and watching your poor little LCD screen die.
You seen Fifth Element?
I've seen Fifth Element, good. Yes. not in Blu-ray high definition or anything, though.
Oh, I must own six different copies of the darn thing. Yeah. That and Highlander. tongue doesn't work. That, Highlander, and Top Gun are the three movies that I... Okay, oh. That, Highlander, Top Gun, Platoon, anything with...
I know people go out and buy a new TV with a new sound system specifically, they throw in Top Gun.
Oh, yes, I do.
No, I was just...
No, I did the exact same thing. I hooked up my new Yamaha surround sound. I got my speakers the very first thing. Dun, 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 dun. And then the jet takes off. We used to watch that movie so often at Cadets that me and two other guys, we used to stand at the TV and just literally recite the lines from the movie, and everybody would like throw food and popcorn and chips and stuff at us. And...
Yeah.
But Top Gun number 2 is coming out.
It is.
Tom Cruise, I know this isn't comic book news, but we kind of segued into it.
Yeah.
Top Gun, Maverick. That's the name of it.
I'm not one to talk, but Val Kilmer needs to start working out now.
Oh, gosh. Poor Val.
He ain't fitting in that back seat. Whatever, the front seat of that plane.
You see the plane go off the end of the carrier, just drop into the water.
Come on. We can only joke because we've got a few extra pounds
ourselves. Yeah, exactly. He can look at us and go, what? You making fun of me? Oh, well. So, yeah, I guess Wonder Woman's doing well. $11 million on Thursday in the U.S., which is a pretty decent Thursday opening.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to do well. I hope it does.
Even though it only doesn't open on Fridays until Friday, which...
In some places it opens up early, right?
It's just weird.
Like, they count... That's the other thing that's a bit weird. You know, they started counting Thursdays and Fridays as part of the weekend opening numbers. And that's why some people argue that films like Gone with the Wind still grossed more than Avatar if you use inflation and you use those numbers. And well, it is what it is.
Yep, yep.
But other than that, I haven't read any comics this week. Not a one.
I
didn't pick my books up this week.
I'm a week behind, but I just read the 2 weeks ago Action Comics.
Yeah.
I'm confused. I get confused. Like, I get the whole Superman Hit Squad. You got Cyborg Superman.
Kinda, yeah.
Right.
Are they back? Because I'm not reading Action. I'm reading Superman.
Yeah, so Action, you've got this... I don't know. They're calling themselves the Superman Hit Squad. It's Mongol, Eradicator... Medlo, Cyborg Superman, and that Blank guy, a new character called Blank. I don't know. He was a prisoner in one of the fortresses or something.
Okay.
But Cyborg Superman's in charge, Hank Henshaw. But he was talking about his origin again.
Yeah.
Which it kind of confused me. I know it had to do with him going into space and Superman rescues him because his shuttle crashes, but Superman can't rescue the three other people, including his wife or something. But in this version, maybe for Rebirth, he talks about how his shuttle crashes, and due to the radiation, the four people on the shuttle get these powers, and he shows the other three in the background,
right.
And his wife is holding up her hands, and they're disappearing. The other guy looks like he has flames, but they're kind of blue, and the other guy is this big, rocky, pointy, boulder guy.
Yeah.
And Henshaw's up front, he's kind of, I don't know, withering. I'm going like, all right, what's going on here?
Yeah,
like,
I think somebody's definitely taking a knock at the Fantastic Four.
So wait, DC has the Fantastic Four now, is what you're saying.
I guess so. Because it was like, I'm looking at this thing going, okay, the rock guy, the invisible woman, the guy on fire, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was, is somebody was taking a little bit of a fun little dig.
Yeah, because my memory of the original origin is the other three aren't rescued and they die and only Henshaw survives. But anyways.
But before they die, they become...
Well, apparently they make it back to Earth in this new thing, and I don't know. I have to read it again. I was just kind of going like, I think we got the wrong company here.
Yeah, it's. I know Action started pretty strong, and so did Detective, but they quickly turned out to be these weird team books.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if I like the idea. Like, in the old days, Batman was the Batman, Robin, other superheroes... action adventure comic, and then Detective was just Batman, crime solving, a little darker,
yeah,
a lot of done in one stories, and it was all just about, until Legends of the Dark Knight came out and kind of took over that role. But it was basically, this is just the Dark Knight Batman adventures, now it seems like action is, you know, like they got the Superwoman in there, they got the Luthers in there as the main Superman character almost.
Yeah, not anymore though. It's just Supes and Lois.
Oh, so they kind of cleaned it up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But Detective is basically should be called Batman's World or Batman Family.
Batman and the Outsiders.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because it's basically a little super team, right? And my understanding is that, what's her name? Zatanna's going to be in the team now.
I haven't seen her yet.
I know Tweedle's all excited because she's coming to the team, so he started picking up Detective a few issues early to see if he needed to catch up on the story or not.
Right now, spoiler just kind of told them all to bugger off, and she's actually against them right now.
Ooh.
So the last issue that I read today, she was just, it was all about her, basically.
There you go.
So
I don't know if I'm digging that kind of idea or not.
Yeah, it's definitely not the way the Detective used to be, for sure.
excuse me, big yawn. What about you, Dan? Are you like us, not reading anything today?
I read half of Die Kitty Die.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's when I was like, oh, gotta go. Because it was about 7:10. I started reading. I'm like, I gotta read something for the show.
Yeah.
Start reading, and then, are you going to the show today? Like, yeah, okay, better go.
My back was acting up a little bit, so I laid down on the couch and on the bed. Sorry, and I almost didn't get up in time. I was like, I lied. I lied like a rug. I did read a comic today this week. I have Cable number one.
Oh, you picked that up, did you?
Digital.
I mean, oh yeah, you read that, did you?
Yeah, because they started sending me not very many, but some Marvel comics are coming for review purposes.
Right.
It's kind of weird because usually no Marvel new DCs come for review.
Yeah.
But Cable number one came for a review, and I thought it was okay. I mean, the art's not bad. It's I guess I'm a bit... you and me are both getting X-Men Gold and Blue, right?
Yeah.
Are you getting X-Men?
No.
And I'm also getting Weapon X, and this Cable kind of goes into that, has the same trade dress and everything. And it's kind of harking back to that 90s X-Men era where they were pretty popular and things were really good. And I'm really excited about it, but I know that in September, this Legacy thing is supposed to kick in.
Yeah.
And original numbering and stuff like that. So is this basically just a bunch of miniseries that are going to last 4 or 5 issues, 6 issues, 12 issues, depending? Because I know some of them are twice a month. And then it's just going to, you know, I'm having a hard time investing that emotional. Tweedle was saying it best the other day, that you kind of start following a storyline from a creator. You start getting emotionally involved in the story. You start, you know, almost like a soap opera. You remember what happened before. You get invested into it. And that's how comics used to be.
Yeah.
Now it seems like, well, here's 4 issues. You didn't like it? Okay, no problem. No problem. New number one. Here's 6 issues. Oh, okay, no, don't worry. Cancel. Here's 5 issues. So it's like, I'm really digging this art team. I'm digging this story direction. But is it just going to die in a few issues?
Well, you know, this is just my opinion. If Marvel was smart, they would, you know, go to back to the original numbering, but just take X-Men Gold and turn it into Uncanny X-Men number whatever, right? And then take X-Men Blue and just change it into X-Men, like the Jim Lee X-Men run, and make it number whatever. And then away we go. Let's just knock it off.
just exactly. Knock it off with this big, huge series of mini issues that only last like mini series.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just seems like I want to enjoy these books, and I am ish.
You're just afraid to.
But I just know that there's I can see the cliff. It's coming. Something's going to change. So
yeah.
Do I get wrapped up in this stuff? And I'm having a hard time detaching myself and saying, you know what? Just enjoy the ride. No matter how long it is or how short it is, just enjoy it. And I'm having a hard time making that disconnect.
Yeah.
And that's why I've kind of dropped a heck of a ton of Marvel comics.
Yeah. Well, you read the latest X-Men Blue.
I'm not sure. Was it last week?
James, 2 weeks. Yeah. Week and a half ago. James Hudson. I mean, it can't be a surprise. We know who the three-clawed guy is in X-Men Blue. It's James Hudson.
Yeah.
From the Ultimate Universe.
What I didn't read is how exactly all the Ultimates ended up in the 616 universe.
Secret Wars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because Jimmy Hudson helped fight Doctor Doom and with the X-Men, and then he was looking at Wolverine, and Wolverine was sniffing him and going, "Hey, you smell like me," or something. Yeah.
So we know that most of those Ultimates characters from their little extra universe are now in ours, so it's not surprising that they're starting to pop up.
No, because at the very end of X-Men Blue, there's five of them that pop into the bar where the kid X-Men are with Jimmy. And,
oh, is that who those guys are?
Yeah, like, and they go, we're X-Men here team? From him. Yeah, well, they're from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, because with the Ultimates, I read Weapon X for like the first four or five issues, and
yeah,
that was it.
I never got into the Ultimate Universe at all. The only one I bought was the Longshot storyline because I liked Longshot. So,
well, the Amazing Spider-Man run, the Ultimate Spider-Man,
yeah,
was fantastic.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying they weren't good or anything, but I just never. It was just too much going on, like Ultimate Avengers or the Ultimates, I guess they called themselves or something. Yeah. But
I've got those trade paperbacks if you ever want to catch up there, dude.
Which ones? I wasn't paying attention.
Ultimate
at all.
Spider-Man.
I was just reading about the Fantastic Four some more.
Why? Oh,
just the Brian Bendis like teasing that maybe, you know, some they might be coming back or something.
Yeah.
One thing that I do like is like from reading these, I don't read any of the comics Brian Bendis writes because I don't actually read any Marvel comics on a monthly basis, like religiously. But like apparently none of his comics are paying any attention to the Secret Empire continuity at all.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
All right. So what's that? Show me some explicit content there, Marty.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a family show.
I'm trying to distract you. So,
yeah.
Let's finish. That's one of the things that got me away from Marvel and drove me crazy is that they would come out with these summer events and most of the main titles would just carry on the way they were going and ignore the event. Right, so you'd have all these special books and special spin-offs, and you know, I'm like, okay, so the X-Men are off in space in this storyline doing this, and then oh, we're gonna have another event, and they're in New York, and it's blowing up, and then they're in their own book, and everything's fine.
Well, that was,
and that's
that was
the same day that they're released on the same day. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute,
that was like the Inhumans for me. I had a problem because I started reading the Inhumans book, whatever it was, Uncanny Inhumans or Secret Inhumans or The Incredible Invincible Inhumans, whichever one they were called. And it was like four or five issues in, and then all of a sudden there was that Dark Access whatever storyline. And the story literally took a 180-degree turn from where it was going, didn't tie up any of those plot lines, and then all of a sudden Medusa was evil, running around in black leather for three issues. Yeah. That ended, and they didn't really tie that out, maybe because I didn't read the limited series. And then two issues of kind of filler crud, and then they got into the Black Vortex little crossover with Marvel. And I was just like, with the X-Men, I was like, what? I'm reading a year of this comic, and I got five issues out of it.
Like, well, I complain online, and you know, guys are like, well, that's because the one with the X-Men in space took place the day before the one where they were in New York, and it's getting all destroyed. And that takes place a week after the one in the regular series where New York's fine and different.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, people. Stand up to it for once and say, this is not right.
Enough's enough. But, they're not learning their lesson, right? Right in the middle of Secret War, they're going to be releasing the Legacy.
Secret Empire.
Yeah, Secret Empire. They're going to be releasing Legacy.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I don't know, maybe I'm drinking too much caffeine at night. I can't read Secret Empire. I'm trying. And I end up skimming it because it just, it's like this massive barrage of word balloons in not great art.
No.
Like, I mean, I understand certain people have like a more artistic style, a little bit more fancy and a little more painty than your standard coloring book lines and stuff. But it's just not doing it for me. I'm trying and it's just not.
Do you know who the artist is on that one?
No. I should. He did one of the other series recently.
Yeah, I should know too. But yeah, I find it too. It's just, and I guess maybe I'm not reading everything, because I feel like I'm missing parts of the story. Like,
well, yeah, that's the other thing. You're reading along and it's jumping all over the place and it's not following along.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and then, of course, yeah, I'm just going to talk to it. Andre Sorrentino and Rod Reis, wherever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have so much issue with the artwork per se. It is different, but it's not like
didn't this guy do either a Hawkeye or something like that?
I don't know. It looks familiar. It looks like something I've seen.
I seem to remember somebody drew it, but I mean,
it's just to me like they're just trying to squeeze too much into one issue.
I think
they've already
Rod
announced
Reese.
An extra issue on the end.
Green Arrow. He did a bunch of Green Arrow issues.
Okay.
And I wasn't a big fan. And of course, the big reveal at the end, spoilers, I don't give a crap because it's Marvel. The Punisher is an agent of Hydra. Like,
isn't everybody?
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, big reveal! Punisher has an octopus squid on his skull.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, isn't everybody an agent of Hydra right now?
Well, see that this is what I can't figure out in my limited knowledge of Secret Empire. I thought it was just Captain America coming out as of an agent of Hydra, and in continuity, which Marvel said this was. He just rises up and fights the heroes that we know. But that's not what this is. Like, everything has changed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's been a time jump or this is a new reality.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
And again, like I said, I'm just not capable of reading the issues and absorbing it. I'm just lost. I don't... But yeah, that guy was definitely... He did some Green Arrow, which was not my favorite.
So, Pestilence.
Okay, if you want to chat about Pestilence.
I've seen and heard a lot about it.
I can't remember if we chatted about this on last week's show or not. I think we were talking with Sam, but I got to read Pestilence number one from Aftershock.
Aftershock,
And I did a quick review of it, and it's on the website there. But basically what it is just after the Crusades, so that's what, 1500s?
Yeah, about there.
Give or take, 1350s, somewhere around there. I'm brain farting on my ancient history. But basically what it is that this is a band of basically, I'm going to say basically too many times, black ops type team for the Vatican.
Yeah, the Knights Templar.
Kind of. Knights Templar was kind of, slightly but different. But
yeah.
This is like a special commando
squad. Not so
squad.
Black ops. They were pretty
out there. And just like your old-timey war comics, right? Like Sergeant Rock and stuff. And there's a team, and each one, like, you know, one guy's the suave ladies' man. One's the explosives expert. One's the thief. You know, one's the muscle man. And then, of course, they got the rugged leader of the troop. And they're basically running around... defeating and fighting for the church and stuff. And this is about the time of the Black Plague, right? So you're reading along, and sure, there's a little orgy scene at the castle of a bad guy. That's
not
the part
for children.
Yeah, it's definitely not for children. This thing's got, like, some pretty serious curse words in it and, you know, ladies' bottoms and stuff and ladies' tops and some blood and guts as the hammers and the axes fly. So everybody's fighting, and you're going along, and everything's good. And then all of a sudden, you realize, wait a sec... This is about zombies. This is about The Walking Dead. This is zombies. So what the heck's going on? And then, you know, reading, doing a little research, that's the basic premise is the Black Plague was actually a zombie infestation, not the bubonic plague, and the Vatican covered it all up.
Right.
So that's the basic premise behind this book. And the art is just fantastic.
I want to – Is this thing, like, sold out and blah, blah,
I don't
blah.
Know about sold out because it came out not this week but last week.
Yeah.
And I know there's a ton of variant covers for it and stuff, and I'm sure there's going to be multiple prints and stuff. But it's an Aftershock book, and you know that nobody in our area carries a lot of Aftershock.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. So I'm going to try to put it on my pull list as soon as possible. But, I mean, it's 4 issues, mini, maybe. They don't specifically say it's a mini series, but already it's final cutoff date for issue 3. So if you do order it at the comic shop, they're only going to guarantee you issue 4, so you're going to have to do a little digging for 1, 2, and 3. But
yeah.
I don't know how I missed this, but it's a fantastic comic.
That's good. Something different.
Like, the art is just look at that.
Without my glasses on... It reminds me of Ramos.
Yeah, very much, very much.
Yeah.
Humberto Ramos. Very much so. Yeah. And it's got all that detail and stuff, but it's not heavy.
Yeah.
Like, you know how sometimes... Now, the guy who does the art for this, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, is a Disney animator.
Oh.
So, Oleg Okunev. And just like each Disney character, you know, has a very distinct look, so that if they ever make an action figure, you won't mix them up. Like, the candlestick looks like the candlestick, and the beast looks like... Same thing here. Every single member of this super team all have their own quirky, like, the one guy's got an eye patch and a big bushy mustache, and the other guy's got a monocle, and, you know, they make it so that if this thing ever hits the TV show, you could definitely tell every single character apart.
Right.
So it's fantastic. I just loved it.
Cool.
Run out and get Pestilence. It was good.
But not until after we get copies.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you do run out and get copies and you see extras, buy some for the lads. Spread the love. So, I never read that Rose. Did you read the Rose?
I read the first issue, and it didn't really... It wasn't like, wow. I didn't pick up number two.
So
what about American Gods? Have you actually read that comic?
I have not.
I like the TV show.
Well, I read the original book. Did you?
Yeah, I read the book a while ago.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman book.
Okay.
Like you know how Gaiman, after he did Sandman, he got that novel contract?
Oh,
and
okay.
Punched out a bunch of books.
So that's where American Gods
Good comes Omens, from. American Gods. There's more.
We'll take your word for it.
Neverland. No, Neverwhere. I'm going to get my Neil Gaiman fan card pulled away from taken away from me.
But is there a comic book based on it now?
So there's a novel, and now there's a comic book, and the TV show. Now, I watched one or two episodes of the TV show, and I definitely got the vibe that this is a binge-worthy show. This is a show that I should binge, not just kind of float into.
Yeah. Like, I just watched episode 4 this afternoon after work. I don't know if slow is the right word. Definitely character building.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just finding, like, not a ton happens in one episode. Because, I don't know, it's a very interesting format for a TV show. Like, characters sitting around talking for half the episode. It's like, all right, I know you're building up to something, and we're getting introduced to different characters, but you guys just sat and talked for 20 minutes. Like, six of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, it was okay. The characters are very interesting. Like, the whole... I mean, this... But anyways, I can't really say too much about it without spoiling it. So, because I don't even know really what's going on, because I haven't read the book. So,
well, if you want to feel good about that, watch the first 4 episodes of the new Twin Peaks.
I have to watch the original Twin Peaks. I've never seen it.
There'll be 20 minutes of no talking and just a character doing something strange.
Is that where he's like banging his head against the mirror in that commercial where they showed it over and over and over again?
No, that's actually like probably from the old series.
I keep wanting to say he's Mulder, but...
Mulder's in there.
Is he?
In the original. Okay. I won't spoil anything for the new one, but yes, he plays a it's hard to say for sure. So this was like 91 or 92, and he was possibly playing like a transgendered character.
That I remember. I never watched. The only thing I remember about Twin Peaks is it revolved around this blonde girl,
Laura Palmer,
and that's all I really remember, except for David Duchovny maybe in a dress.
Yes,
and the other guy in the black suit. I know his name. I should know his name.
Agent Dale Cooper.
Yeah, but what's the actor's name? I know.
I'm not going to get my fan card revoked. So. Yeah.
How long was the original
Kyle MacLachlan.
One? Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan.
Who was also in the movie Dune, if you've ever seen the movie Dune.
Yep.
The original series, the first season was like 8 episodes, and then the second season was like about 20 episodes.
Oh, okay.
And then they had a movie.
So it's not... Huge, huge.
You can
numbers.
Easily you would say you could easily binge it, but there's a lot of very cringeworthy moments in some of those episodes. So
right. This show was done by
David Lynch was the
David
director.
Lynch, yes.
My name is David Lynch.
And I will blow your mind. Well, I mean, speaking of Mulder, Scully's in American Gods in a role that, I mean, for me it's totally not Dana Scully or Gillian Anderson in any way, whatsoever. because she keeps dressing up as these classic people. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, she's supposedly the god of television, god of media.
Yeah.
So she shows up as like
Lucy.
Lucy from I Love Lucy and a few other things like that. And it's just it's like just weird. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if I can pull up American Gods on this questionable website, but it's not coming up.
It just seems to me in the age of television, the way it is that if you have people, if you have too much character building, then people are just going to fade away. You got to have action and stuff going on. And
I agree, but it also all depends on your demographic that you're going for, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, people hate character building in The Walking Dead TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
God help us if we have an episode that's just building up a character.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But that's exactly what I was thinking, right? You can do that in the fifth or sixth season of Walking Dead and people will stick with it. But in the first season of a new show, I don't know. But I know it's all about story building and character building and stuff. And
that's why I think the program is better binge watched.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're, it's kind of like Walking Dead. And I know you guys read it monthly. I couldn't do it. It just too little happens for me to remember what's happening 3 weeks later when the next issue comes out.
Yeah.
Same thing with the TV show. I mean, you're sitting there with your smart food and your beer and you're watching TV and you're crunching away and you're trying to dig it out of your little holes in your teeth. They're the little popcorn kernels. So you're flossing while watching. Sorry, I'm getting into too much detail. But you're watching television.
You have no pants on. You know,
you got no pants Martin on. Story. You know, you know, the kids are screaming. And,
Dad, put some pants on.
Oh, my God, Dad, you're naked again. Oh. I have friends over. Oh, put some pants on. Oh. But, you know, you're watching the television show and you kind of get it. You spend your hour and then you're off to the races for the next 4 or 5 days at work and you're doing other stuff. The show comes back on. It's like, well, what the heck happened a few episodes ago? And that's why you're less tolerant on these very, you know, lengthy episodes that are just full of exposition and stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you're really hardcore and devoted and.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my daughter Emma and I started watching iZombie
like
2 years ago. And we liked it, but we just got busy and it just kind of faded away. But I was off work in May for a couple weeks and I just binge watched it right up to the latest episode. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those things where this overall story, but each episode is its own little mystery to solve type, like murder to solve or whatever. I think it's a great fun show.
American Gods is also hard to watch. Just catch it. I mean, it's supposedly on Hulu if you're in the States, but only if you also subscribe to Stars.
Stars, yeah.
So I have an American Hulu box and an American proxy server, so I can fire up Hulu, but I can't watch Stars. And when I try to subscribe to Stars, it tells me my credit card's from the wrong country. So it's like, okay, that's not working. Yeah. So how can a Canadian watch it? Well, it's available on Amazon Prime if you're Canadian. Great, I've got Amazon Prime. Fire up my Xbox. There's no Amazon Prime app for Xbox One in Canada. There's a U.S. version, but not an American version. So I'm like, well, for Pete's sakes, I want to, you know, okay, so fine. Change the proxy back to U.S., install the American version of Amazon Prime, switch it back to Canada, fire it up, and it says, you can't watch this content because your billing address is incorrect. I'm like, well, my billing address is Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you got no choice but to pirate it. And I'm feeling like...
That's such a dirty word.
I'm feeling like the pirated episodes that we're having available to us are either from a country that maybe stuff is being cut out. Because there's some things that I've been told happen that distinctly don't happen. Hmm. Like Gillian Anderson apparently is supposedly topless at some point in time, dressed as Lucy. And that's not in there.
I've watched up to episode 4, and that is definitely not in there.
Exactly. So was that guy just joking and made a smart butt remark, and that's not actually what happens, or is it cut out?
I would be very shocked if it was in there.
In which case,
if she was doing that.
You know, what else are we missing?
Yeah.
So it just seems like it's hard. It's effort. I need my TV to be effortless, not effort. Effort. If I want effort, I go to work. I don't want effort at home. I want home to be easy.
Yeah. Well, I like iZombie. I think it's really well done. I've never read the comic, But I like the show.
I remember watching like the first few episodes of it, and it was pretty good. But wasn't that kind of like that Van Helsing show where I distinctly remember watching like a two-hour Van Helsing movie, and then like 3 years later, 4 years later, there's this Van Helsing TV show on Xbox, so I sit down to watch it, and it's the two-hour show has been split, the two-hour movie's been split into two, the first and second episode, and it continues on. So I'm like, so was that like a pilot in disguise slash movie?
Well, see, that's the thing with iZombies, that when Em and I watched it, it was on some network, I don't know, we got the episodes each week somehow and watched them. But now it's Netflix.
Yeah.
So a new episode comes out on Netflix every week. So these things are hopping around all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen about 20 minutes of iZombie.
There you go.
Late one night.
Yeah.
It was okay. I actually own season 1 and 2 on Blu-ray, but then watched the first episode on Netflix.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm an idiot.
That drives me nuts when my kids do that. What are you watching? Oh, we're watching Rambo. I'm like, I own the discs.
Yeah.
I own the discs with all sorts of cool commentary and not using internet bandwidth. Why don't you?
It's convenience, though.
It is.
Because, like, Netflix saves it. If I have to stop in the middle of an episode, Netflix saves that for me.
Exactly.
You know?
And Netflix babysits you.
Are you sure you're still watching?
I know.
Stop it.
Press continue if you are still watching. Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't still be watching, but I am surprised that you're still watching.
Either you're dead or you need a life. Are you still watching?
That's right.
Oh, well.
So I lied. I did actually read one comic book this week.
Okay. That seems to be a trend. I lied, too. I did
read
one.
Mine was Aurora Man Issue 0
on
Comixology.
Yay.
I downloaded that off Comixology. Time to set the record straight and say that Martin Baruta has a Comixology comic book credit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Somebody was upset about that.
I wasn't upset. I was just ribbing. All I did was like typeset shit and stuff. I didn't write it.
I see the next book that you want to purchase though. I see you posted on Facebook there.
Which book was that?
A little Scooby Doo book.
Ha! Yeah, Scooby Doo 35-cent variant apparently for $20,000.
Like, oh my goodness.
What is that all about?
Like,
is it seriously worth that amount of money, or is somebody just
that seller has a bunch of other price variants for extreme amounts of money?
So they're not really worth that much. This guy's just really hoping.
Not.
Well, that's, I mean, we were talking about that on the Facebook, right? About this trend all of a sudden that, like, we're big Captain Canuck fanatics, and somebody had Captain Canuck number one. Graded by CGC at 10.0. So that's, in theory, a perfect score. Nothing wrong with it. But you know how CGC works. If that book had come in a week later or a week earlier or got shifted around in the packaging just ever so slightly, it would have been a 9.8. Or it legitimately could have been graded as a 9.9. Like, a 10 is really fluky. Like, it's really fluky, and it depends on whether the guys are in a... I know it's supposed to be... you know, impartial and stuff, but bullshit. I mean, it is what it is. I'm sure if somebody's in a bad mood, they're not going to issue any 10.0s that week. You know, they're going to give it a 9.9. It's like in school. If you got a 50, you didn't get a 50. You got 48, 47, and the teacher decided to give you a break. Yeah. If you got 49, you got a 48, 47. You were a jerk to your teacher, and they decided to give it to you. Nobody scores 50, ever. You know, same thing with 80. You didn't get 80. You got 78, 79. And, you know, mommy complained to the teacher or something, and you got your 80. 81, 82, that's an honest grade, but not 80. Heck, I bet you if you got 80, the teacher would give you 81 just so that, you know.
It didn't look
so fishy. Yeah. Same thing with this comic book. So, Captain Canuck, 1975, 10.0. It's the only 10.0 out there. It's the oldest 10.0 ever graded. There's some cachet there, but a guy sold it for $5,000. $5,000. And Doug out there in Winnipeg, he's got cases, unopened cases of Captain Canuck number one.
Yeah.
You know, the chances of finding another number 10 are pretty high. And it's such a niche market. Nobody cares except for a few select, very dedicated, very honest Canadian collectors about Captain Canuck number one. Like, your average collector who's going after New Mutants 87, they don't care about Captain Canuck number one from 1975.
No.
And $5,000? Really?
Do you know anything about the buyer?
Like, no, I don't know who bought it. I can try to ask I know who sold it. It was the guy that I've bought quite a few of my CGC Captain Canucks from, Reynold. He's got a German spelling of Reynold, so I can't remember off the top of my head whether it's Reynold or Anschutz is his last name. Nice guy, great collector and stuff. But same thing. He had a box. He sent the box off. He got them graded. One came back as a 10. Bunch came back as 9.9. Bunch came back as 9.6, and he sold them.
Wow.
You know, but so this Scooby-Doo, it's a 35-cent variant, which are harder to find. It's in excellent condition, which is hard to find for a 1970s book, let alone a price variant, because back then kids were rolling up comic books and putting them in their back pockets out of the convenience store as we were walking out. I know, because I was one of them.
Yeah.
You know, ice cream cones dripping into the comic as we were reading them. So it is hard to find, but how much did they want for it?
They wanted like 13,000 American, which ended up being like 20 grand Canadian.
13,000 American!
It was a 9.0.
For a Scooby-Doo!
Yeah. Not even like a Scooby-Doo first appearance.
No.
It was the number one from the Marvel series.
Yeah, which was what?
In the 70s.
Late 70s, early 80s, or just 70s?
I think it was like 78, 79, yeah. Somewhere like that.
It's safe to say the comic book industry and market, I guess not industry, market has changed in the last
five years.
Like, people are like going, oh, this is the first appearance of that guy's right foot, and that's worth the $300. Like, it's just gone crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is his first appearance in black and white. This is his first appearance in color. This is his first appearance as a prototype character, even though the creator of the comic book said that that guy just barely looks like him and is not him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Here's this, you know, book from Italy. And everybody's, like, I saw some guy on Facebook there. And I don't want to bash him because, you know, it's not his fault. He was dropped on his head by his parents and that he's an idiot moron. But he found the first appearance of Harley Quinn in a prose kids book. And he's asking, is this valuable?
But apparently the other guys looked it up and there was one selling on eBay for like $1,000. Or maybe the guy was asking. But they were calling it the first appearance of a printed first appearance of Harley Quinn.
Yeah, exactly. Just because it's a prose book that came out slightly before the comic book did.
Yeah.
Because it was an adaptation of the cartoon. Like, is the very first script from the very first episode of Batman Adventures that features Harley Quinn, is that her true first appearance in print? You know,
like, so if this children's book thing is the true first appearance, does that mean Batman Adventures is not worth anything?
Oh, no, because that's her first appearance in prose. This is her first appearance outside of continuity in a comic book as opposed to her first appearance in continuity in a comic book.
Oh, man.
And this is her first appearance as a preview. And, oh, my goodness, people, get a life.
It's gotten crazy.
It's gotten crazy. But I think what it is it's just a whole bunch of people are out there. I can't afford Batman Adventures number 12. So I'm going to see what's the next closest to it that I can afford and try to turn that into a key.
Yeah.
You know, and people are just going crazy. Yeah. Like, you know for a fact, like, when we started selling out at the barn, the prices we were getting in 2013, 2014 for the comic books versus what they're going for right now is astronomically different.
Yeah.
Like, huge. Like, I want my Vision first appearance back from you, you little jerk. What would I sell it to you for? $30?
I should probably sell that.
What would I sell it to you for?
I can't remember now.
I'm thinking $30.
Maybe.
Like, Star Wars number one. I sold a copy of Star Wars number one for $60 December 2014, and that was a fair price, according to eBay sold. And I lost the 15% commission and the rental fee on the cabinet. And what was it, 4 or 5 months later, some guy had it up for $250 and was getting that much on eBay?
Yeah.
You know, how much is that book worth now?
The thing is that it's going to turn around at some point. Like, is it next year, 10 years, 5 years? Like, things are going to flip-flop again.
Oh, yeah. That kid that got soaked up paying $1,000 for Dark Hawk number one, 9.8 in CGC, and now it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
You know, how many times is that going to happen to that kid before he says, this is garbage. I'm not making any money at this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Hopefully only once.
And he drops out, right?
But it's kind of like, let's use first appearance of Vision as an example. It's kind of making me want to go through my collection and see what's going on. And if there's a book that's skyrocketed just because of all this speculation and stuff, well, maybe it's time to sell something.
I bought my copy of Flash 123, and I don't care who knows, in 2004, 2005, 2006, somewhere around that vicinity, from Comic Book Addiction online, and I paid $300 for it Canadian, shipped, all fees, everything. I got an estimate the other day of $2,500 for that comic book.
Yeah.
10 years later.
Yeah.
And, you know, is it going to continue to skyrocket like that? Or is it going to plateau again? And, like, how many times did we see copies of Iron Man number 55 for 10, 15, 20 bucks in the last 7, 8 years?
Yeah.
And now it's like $1,000 or something because of this movie coming out. Nice. What happens when cowboy movies come back? And cartoon movies, you know, comic book movies drop off. Are all these
we
books
can afford
all of a sudden
comics again?
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. Like,
so go through.
Is
the
now the time to sell and then buy back in 5 years if you really want it? Like, I don't know.
Like, there's no way I would pay $20 for Star Wars number 7 or Star Wars number 8 or $30 that some people are asking for that book. Because you know for a fact, there's no way on earth that book is going to sustain that price.
Yeah.
For very long, it's going to go back down to the $2-3 that it was in 2005.
Yeah.
There's no way it is. Now, some key books, like I don't see Walking Dead number 1 dropping too much further. Even after the TV show ends, I still think that's going to be a 4-figure book. No. Maybe high 3 figures.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're ever going to get that book for $20.
Yeah. I mean, the print run. Right? Because it's being so
because
low.
it's a legitimate print run.
And like Turtles, right? Like you the know, first few Turtles issues, they're not gonna.
Yeah, exactly. For first print of Turtles number 1, that's going to be an in demand high price book.
Yeah.
Flash 123 in high grade because it is such a key Silver Age book. That's going to be in demand. We just saw Amazing Fantasy number 15 sold. All you Overstreet freaks, Overstreet price guide $66,000 just sold for $210,000. How accurate is your Overstreet?
Yeah.
That book, right? First appearance of Spider-Man, that won't drop. But first appearance of Spider-Man in his golden armor metal costume. Anyways, I think we might be out of time here because I see Dan fiddling with knobs.
It's a good thing there isn't a camera.
That's what I was going to say. On the board, not
on the board.
Anyways, yes, it seems like that's all the time we've got. Cut you off mid-rant, so we've got something to talk about next week still.
Excellent.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?